touch people at home and abroad. In Jerusalem, start there, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. So as the Lord leads and guides, He will provide. He has provided. He has already provided. All we need to do is make sure we're there to meet the provision, to receive the provision. Amen. And Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I thank God for that. That's a word right there. But then expect your blessing, because God is the one that brings the blessing. Amen. So this week we're going to start week two of our series entitled Love Thy Neighbor. And if you hear, I haven't got the CDs. I kind of got a little bit behind. But if you need the CDs from last week, come back next week. Or, yeah, because it's probably going to be tight for me to get them done today. But come back next week and we'll get you caught up. But last week, this is based off of the life of Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. So last week we had his introduction. But Mr. Rogers had, I think, at least 11 sweaters. So it was a challenge to the kids to kind of guess maybe what sweater color that he was going to wear every day when he went to his closet. So I just wanted to, each Sunday we're going to do a different introduction and you try to guess what sweater he's going to have on. Last week it was the red sweater.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you pay for a beauty? Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? And so we're neighbors again today. I'm glad to be with you.
Praise the Lord. Now, our video has a little bit of not quite like high def, but I'm pretty sure that was his gray sweater. So we had the red and we had the gray. And everything, like I say, we're honoring Fred as he honored God. Because, and just listening to Angel's daughters, they actually knew Mr. Rogers. And to this generation, that's a testimony to his life. Because he had the longest running public broadcasting station, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, over 30 plus years, I think 33 years. So, you know, a lot of times don't look at the outward appearance and judge somebody, because God doesn't do that. He looks at your heart. Because I told you when I was growing up, when I turned on to Mr. Rogers, I loved Fred Kirby and the Little Rascals. I wasn't born again. We wasn't raised up in a, wasn't allowed to be raised up in a godly atmosphere. But God doesn't change. That didn't change his love for me. He was still after. He's after everybody to love and get everybody he can. And he will use all kind of ways. He'll use a Mr. Rogers in your life that'll be different, but the love of God will capture you. See, it wasn't the person. It was the heart, the vision that God gave Mr. Rogers. In my introduction, I shared about, as I was seeking the Lord this year about what to share during Christmas, and has anybody seen the movie that Tom Hanks has out? It's just released. Don't tell nobody. Can't tell nobody all the good. I've been holding on, Darius. So me and Darius, but I would encourage you to go see the movie. Not just because I'm telling you, because it's a good movie. It'll touch your heart. It'll show you a little bit more of the man that I really didn't know, but I knew Christ in him when I started listening to him. And he didn't talk a lot. He didn't. Let me get into the message. So as I was remembering that, I can remember as a young boy watching some of the programs, but I was disturbed at the way he looked and maybe at the way he talked and the way he presented himself as a child. This was just me compared to Roy Rogers and John Wayne, you know, the Westerns. I just couldn't sit down and watch Mr. Rogers as a kid. But I knew there was something different about him, though. And therefore, I said, Lord, I'd like to dedicate this month and honor Fred Rogers for the work that you called him to do. So I wanted to kind of, you know, sometimes you can make up what you've missed, what you didn't see in life as you get older. You can say, okay, I missed it there, but what can I do to make up for what I didn't do? And God's pleased with that. So therefore, the next 3 weeks, counting this week, we're going to visit Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Amen? And this is a four-week devotion. So a summary of last week, we talked about the guided drift. Rogers had a term that he loved to use when referring to discerning one's calling. That means to try to figure out what God's called me to do. What's he called you to do? And Fred called it the guided drift. The idea was that while it's good and wise to make plans, amen, make plans, get you a savings account. Rowan just got his first job, and we got to get him a account because they do a direct deposit, but start putting that money in the bank, start giving it to the Lord first, amen. It don't matter how much you make, it determines the percentage. God's not looking at how much, just keep him first. Keep him first in all things. Because when you do that, man, he's able to make all things abound to you. So the idea was this guided drift, that while it's good to make wise plans, one needed to live a life, Mr. Rogers here quoting, one needs to lead a life that was open to change. Open to change. Led that change as long as you're led by the Holy Spirit. That's good change. As Rogers was wrapping up college in the spring of 1951, he was planning a career in pastoral ministry, as this was how he thought he could be of the utmost service to others. But just before starting seminary, Rogers saw television, black and white, for the very first time. Now, there was an introduction, his first Welcome to the Neighborhood. He came out in black and white, and I didn't bring that one because it's kind of hard to see, but he had a sweater, and the sweater was a button-up sweater. You know, he was zipping up this one. The first one, it was a black and white, and he had about 8 buttons, and he's like, and I'm buttoning up my sweater. He would go through each button, you know. So he went from the buttons to the zipper. I think it was maybe less noisy or something for the microphone. But you remember when you're a kid, so he ministered to children. And you remember as a kid, it was hard to button a shirt. That was when you never done it, you get to the top and it's like this. You're like, that ain't right. So you had to start, you know, it was hard. That was a challenge to a kid sometimes, tying your shoes. He tied his shoes. Man, that was a challenge until you learned how to do it. And he ministered to those little things that we think are nothing now. But to a kid, man, that can be a challenge. And we got to respect that. That if that kid fails at that, when they get an adult and they fail, how will they handle that failure? See, that's where God had called him to. And so when he saw television for the first time, it produced a major jolt to Rogers' guided drift, discerning what he's called to do. Setting him down a path to creating one of the most influential pieces of culture of our 20th century. A TV show that would make Christian values attractive to millions of children. And this is a summary of last week. And we talked about that we were created to love. God created us. He is love, and he created us out of his love. And we talked about our purpose. Our purpose, Adam's main purpose, God created a loving man, male and female, mankind. God, who is love, created us in his image, in his likeness, to love each other. That's our neighbor. Love one another. Love God first with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that was found in Genesis 1, 26 through 28 in the beginning. And then at God's purpose, even after Adam and Eve sinned, never changed. God's love has never changed, never will change. His love for you is always good. His plans and purpose for us is good. Jeremiah 29:11 is a good one. He said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans of good and evil, to give you a bright future with hope. So how can we give love if we don't believe We are loved. Good question. For God so loved the world, he gave us his only son, Jesus. That's an act of love. And then we concluded with Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. That's every day, not Sunday and Wednesday. That's every day. Present a living sacrifice to God. And in doing that, if we do that, out of that, we'll find our purpose. These verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and all of the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. Not just, but this is a foundational, I like to call it, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is like the bedrock. It's our fundamental principles on which something is based, the bedrock. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice unto a holy acceptable. This is our reasonable service. That's our bedrock of how we should live each and every day of our lives. It's just presenting our lives to God first. Lord, what would you have me do today? And how would you have me to do it today? And how, Lord, just show me. Help me, give me creative ways that are on the inside of me to show and express the love you've gave me to others. Because not everybody's in that state of love. Amen. I wasn't at one time. I might try to be your friend, but you know, depending on how you looked. If you didn't look like me, I'm talking about when I was a kid. I bullied kids in school. That wasn't good. You know, we had our group. I mean, see, I watched the Little Rascals. That wasn't, you know, Fred Kirby, but it was kind of, that was the hater club they had. What was it? Women hater club. That ain't good. You know, that's kind of sitting about it. Fred didn't like what he saw. Let me get on a little bit. But things make impressions on our lives we might not see. But they are. They're speaking into our spirit, into our heart. They're forming us. The devil's trying to conform us to his image instead of God's image. See, Jesus set the example. And so picking up this week, this is our devotion number 2. The subtitle is Choosing. Now, think about Fred Rogers. He was going to have to choose his pulpit. A pulpit is a raised platform. See, I'm raised up. I can see above. I can see who's sleeping. I can see who's listening. I'm a little bit higher than you guys. See, if I get low, I can't see everybody. But a pulpit is a raised platform. Now, there was like 3 definitions of that noun. It's actually a raised platform in the bow of a ship. Remember the Lord one time asked Peter if he could use his boat. What, he was looking for a pulpit. He was looking for a raised platform where he could preach good news. Where's your pulpit? Choosing your pulpit. Just before graduating from college, Fred Rogers turned on a TV set for the first time, and what he saw appalled him. He said, I saw people dressed in some kind of costumes, literally throwing pies in each other's faces. And Rogers later recalled, I was astounded at that. His first impression of TV was that it was gimmicky and even demeaning, especially to children. However, while Rogers hated what he saw in that first show, he was also intrigued by a vision that he had how the medium of television could be redeemed and used for good. Sounds like Jesus to me. But that word redeemed, always seeing something evil, but I can turn this into good. But see, because everything God gives man, the creative ideas, it comes from God. But see, what the devil, how it turns evil is the devil takes it and twists it for evil. Takes what God, see, the devil can't create nothing. He's not a creator. He's a created being. God is our creator. There's only one, Jehovah, and his son, Yahshua, Jesus. Amen. The Lord our God is a mighty God. Amen. He can take your beauty for ashes. He'll take your ashes like Miss Tammy was talking about, and he'll make your life beautiful if you'll give him your ashes. Give him. Present your bodies to him, a living sacrifice. He don't want to burn you up. He wants to burn up all the junk that's been put before your eyes and put in your ears. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. Amen. God will send you a burning bush. Amen. Burn stuff out of your life. It won't consume. It'll consume that evil out of you and give you and show you Jesus. Show you life. Amen? Give you how you can take something bad and turn it around for good. So Rogers hated what he saw. But he was looking, God gave him a vision how this could be redeemed and used for good, particularly in demonstrating Christ-like character. And Kathy, if you've been to Life Christian University, that's one of our courses, Christ-like character. That's something you have to build. Now, it's on the inside of you, but you got to put it on. You got to learn it. You got to wear it, right? We got to wear that costume. Christ is, see, he's giving it to us. Just like Mr. Rogers, every morning he would change his life and put on his sweater that represented Christ. I just see that to me. That's what he did. He said, I'm putting my life in the closet, come on, and I'm taking on Jesus. And I'm going to do what Jesus says to do, whether if the world likes it or not. This is what God's called me to do. I'm producing it. I'm doing the music. I'm doing the script, because he did. And he said, if you like it, fine. If don't, turn the channel. Now, Mr. Rogers wouldn't say it like that, but that's the way I'm saying it. Amen? And some people liked it, and I didn't. I turned the channel. I went to Fred Kirby and Captain Kangaroo. And Captain Kangaroo was better than Fred Kirby. But still, Little Rascals wasn't too bad, but they were. Mr. Rogers wouldn't like Little Rascals. No Women Hater Club. But they were funny. You can take some good things out of it, but God's got to. It's got to be covered in love and the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's all got to come down to love, guys. We got to love people. We got to love people that ain't lovely. So he said, not only that, he could use it in demonstrating Christ-like character. Not only that, but in television, Rogers saw an opportunity to channel all of his varied gifts into a single direction. And he said to his parents, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to seminary. I have to watch how I say that sometimes. I don't think I'll go to seminary right now. I think maybe I'll just go into television, into TV. And eventually, Rogers did both. Attending seminary classes on his lunch break while producing his own show. You're talking about a man after God's heart. We talk about David. You know, David was a warrior, but Mr. Rogers was a warrior, but it was for the kids. Was for the kids at on your lunch break. You know, and I got my master's degree at Life Christian University. It was on Tuesday night, 7 to 10 for 5, 6, 7 years, and then taught at the school. But you know what? It was a passion of mine. There was a lot of times I didn't want to get up. My flesh didn't want to get up and get working all day and then go sit and underneath the word for 3 hours a night. But you know what? My spirit was wanting it. My spirit said, I got to go. So you got to press on to that thing. Amen. Now I'm able, you're able to glean a little bit what I learned from those 7 years that'll come out and minister to you if you'll take a hold of it. Amen. And change your life. So he did both. And upon graduating from Western Theological Seminary, Rogers knew he had to choose, between TV and pastoral ministries. Now, to me, that would be life or life. You know, God said, in the Old Testament, I set before you life and death. Choose life. You want to choose Jesus. He is life. Not the way of the world, but he just had two life choices here to make. Both of them is good, but which one of them is God? Amen? Guys, we got a lot of good choices set before us each day. But there's a God choice. Out of those two, or maybe 10, which one is God saying do right now? That's the one you got to choose. That's what Lisa did. She chose this group right here. And you don't look back. That's what God said. Go with it. Amen? And his anointing is upon it. So for Rogers, the decision to commit a career in television was relatively easy. Now, just because it seemed, so you got a seamer on the inside. Paul would say, it seemed good to do this. The seamer is the Holy Ghost. Your seam, your knowing, your intuition, that peace, that small, still voice. It was an easy decision, but it wasn't an easy task. But decision was easy because once he knew it and heard it, that settled it. That's what God said do. He's going to do it. Amen? So that was the easy decision for him. Where he could put the utmost service to his neighbors. In the mind of Fred Rogers, there was no divide between the sacred and the secular. There was no divide. If God called me to do it, and the title of this devotion that came on my Bible app was The Call to Create. And it was a devotion of his life, the call to create. So in the mind of Fred Rogers, there was no divide between the sacred and the secular. He understood that man's first calling, all the way back to the garden, was to emulate the Creator Father by creating new things. And that's Genesis 1:28. God the Creator created us in His own image to say, speak life, speak things. Adam gave every name that God created the animals. Adam named it. See, he's in partnership with God. I mean, he's in the family. God could have done it all. He could have named all the animals and just told Adam, now you just love them. But he wanted Adam to be a part of this creation. He said, you name it. Look at the elephant. Look at the giraffe. Man, Adam was creative, wasn't he? And so was it named, so it is today. And we are still naming. If you're a biologist, scientist, I don't even try to remember, though. They call them the scientific names of a plant. I call it plant or rhubarb or okra. But, man, there's a scientific name that you don't want. You have to speak in tongues to say it. Man's still naming things. That's what God told him to do. There's things we haven't even seen, guys, in the depths of the oceans that God's created. We don't even have a name for it yet. It's deep down there. My wife's seen some of them in visions, things that have light in the darkest deeps of the ocean. How does it have light? Because God created light. It has light. It has life. If you got light, you got life in you. Amen. Everything He created has life in it. Energy. Your cells are made of energy. That's made from God. Amen. Your cells, you look different than I do. But it's the same life. It's the same spirit. So God blessed him and said to him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves and creeps on the earth. And that path, the path, Rogers, when he heard that, created to having the greatest cultural impact for the gospel is often found in embracing this call to create. And it came from Genesis. It came from God. Everything we have comes from God, whether we give Him glory to it or not. You know, when I was B.C., before Christ in the world, luck got all the recognition. If something good happened to me, you know what? I was lucky. This is before I knew Jesus. But if something bad happened, that was just God. You know, God's punishing me for my sin. That's religion. Religion will kill you. God's never been mad at me, angry at me. He's been angry at the sin, the disobedience, but never His creation. Because He created, it's from Him. He loves His creation, but He hates the devil. He hates that created being that fell from His place of position and deceived His creation. The Bible says pride was found in Lucifer's heart, not in God's heart. Pride was found in him. God didn't create him that way. He became that way. How do you become evil? You turn away from God. You turn away from good. How does darkness come in this room? You cut the lights off. Amen. God never leaves. He's still here, but you can walk in darkness, even though you're the light of the world. Ain't that amazing? Why? Because God will let you. He still loves you, but He don't want you in darkness. He don't want you stumbling around. He wants you in the light. Amen. Walking in Christ. Walking in glory. The call to create, and this is in Mark 11:22-26. Shows how we have been given the call before the fall. Amen. Even after the fall, the call is still there. Mark 11:22-26. Jesus answered, says unto them, to the disciples, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, guys, this is how I got saved right here, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you saith. I found my purpose in Romans 10:9-10, at home on my couch by myself, wallowing in myself. I was convicted. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed help. And I opened up the Bible and went to Romans 10:9-10. I don't even remember. I might have looked at the back of where I needed to, how I needed to get saved, and it took me to Romans 10:9-10. And I believed it. I believed in my heart, and I confessed with my mouth that day, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of all my sin. I didn't feel any different on the outside, but on the inside, there was something new. I became a new There was a call to create, and I received the call, and I was recreated in Christ Jesus. And I got born again, and I've been different ever since. Amen? The fruit of my tree is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, meekness. Now, sometimes I have to shake that tree a little bit to get it out, amen? Because the flesh don't want it. The flesh don't want to do what God says do. But you got to crucify that flesh daily and not weekly. Every day, I die daily to that flesh. Therefore, verse 24, therefore, Jesus, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, God will put his desire. God ain't going to give you no evil desire. But if you'll put his word in your heart, his desires become your desires, Terry. And you'll do what God wants to do. And Jesus said, whatsoever things I say when you desire, when you pray, believe you'll receive it and you will see it. It might not be there tomorrow. It might not be there next week. But you keep on seeing it and saying it and you'll have it. Amen. You got it on the inside. Once you get born again, you've got everything you need on the inside. You just got to work your faith, say, work my faith, to make it out here on the outside. And that is a lifelong process. If Mr. Rogers was here sitting, he'd say, amen. Amen. He didn't get real excited on the outside, but I know Mr. Rogers, he's excited on the inside. There was and I'll just talk about excitement. I didn't bring this clip, but there was a clip on his first show that there was a quadriplegic boy that came in a wheelchair. You know, he had to do everything with maybe his lips. And Mr. Rogers, they were singing the song, I Like You Just the Way You Are, I believe. And the boy really hadn't, he was challenged in his mind, but he actually started singing with Mr. Rogers. I don't think he'd ever done that. It was real kind of special. He started singing the song with him and finished it. Well, years later, when Mr. Rogers retired, they gave him a award, I can't remember the award, but it was awesome. It was an honorable reward ceremony. And he's up there giving the speech. And as he finishes, this young boy then comes out in his wheelchair and he's grown. And you'd have to see it. Mr. Rogers went down. He climbed down off of his pulpit and he went and embraced. He hadn't seen him. And he just forgot everything. The reward, it didn't matter. There was his neighbor. Came all his way to see him. And he went down there and just hugged him. And man, the crowd was just, they were in tears. Because that was his whole life passion, was changing and touching lives. And he forgot about his reward. That's where his reward was in that young boy. Now he's a young man. And it was awesome. That's who he was. He didn't have to, when he put in the closet and got his sweater on, he was just showing Christ to the world. But when he got his other coat, he just took Christ with him. He was the same. Amen? He was the same at home. But he's like you and me in marriage. He had challenges. His wife said he had challenges. We all do. But Christ is there to help us through. Amen? Help us through. So while Rogers wasn't led to pastor a church, he did desire to be ordained by the Presbyterian Church with an explicit call to ministry through television. But the Presbytery had its reservations. I guess this would be the Presbyterian Church. But this is what they had on there. They had Presbytery. At a meeting in which the local Presbytery was debating the issue, Reverend Bill Barker addressed the elders on Rogers' behalf, and I would say full of the Holy Ghost when he said this, full of the Holy Ghost, stood up and said, here's an individual who has his pulpit, a raised platform to preach the gospel to the world, proudly in front of a TV camera. His congregation are little people from the ages of 2 or 3 and on up to about 7 or 8. This is a man who has been authentically called by the Lord as much as any of you guys sitting out here. And he's talking to a congregation of ministers. The Presbytery eventually did ordain Rogers. Thank you, Jesus. But this action only served to formalize what Rogers already knew on the inside. He didn't need man's opinion. He just did things right. In other words, I don't need a master's degree to preach the gospel to you, but it's okay to go get or to be ordained. It's just doing things with excellence. And this is what he did. He said he was thankful that they got it, but on the inside he was like, It didn't matter to him if they said yea or nay. He's still going to do what God says to do. Let every man be a lie. Let God be true. Amen? Not everybody's speaking the truth in love. So, because he was called to create as a means of influencing culture with the Christian values he held so dear. It didn't matter what they said, if they gave him a yea or a nay. So later on in his career, Rogers said, I quote, "No matter what our particular job, especially in our world today," and you might as well just bring it into our world, "no matter what you're doing out here working, we are all called to be," help me here now, "we're all called to be tikkun olam," that's Hebrew, "repairers of creation." Repairers of creation. It's a concept in Judaism, interpreted in Orthodox Judaism as the prospect of overcoming all forms of idolatry, and by other Jewish denominations as an aspiration to behave and act constructively and beneficially. I think we could all say that's a good goal to shoot for, to be morally right. When God says it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen? That's pretty much what he was saying. Be repairers of creation. That deep sense of calling to repair creation with the gospel message impacted what Rogers produced on Neighborhood and how he produced the show, giving us a model to follow as we seek to influence our culture for Christ. So, we must follow what Rogers lead as Christians. Jesus is the example. He is the head. We are his body. So let's follow his lead here. And knowing our purpose is to love each other, love thy neighbor. That's the series here. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Love each other, and we must put that love in action. It's no good to write it, to read it, unless you're going to do it. Because if you do the writing and you do the reading and you don't do it, your faith is dead. That's what the Bible says. Faith without corresponding action is dead. And if you've got the God kind of faith on the inside of you, it's not God, it's me that's making the decision to let it out or not. And we've got to make that decision every day. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. I'm going to say it, I'm going to do what God says do. It might be a little thing or it might be a big thing, but you'll never have the big thing if you don't start with the little thing. Amen. You can't get to point E unless you start at point A. You remember the dots we used to do? Dot to dot. Well, to get to that dot, next dot, you got to answer a question. You got to get it right. You follow the dot, right? If you be faithful over little things, the Lord said, I'll make you ruler over much. Don't look for that big thing. Jesus said, greater works you shall do. But let's focus on the works. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a good place to start. If you ain't going to do that, don't think you're going to love the terrorists that's out here bombing our nations. See, we got to love our enemies. I didn't say we got to like what they're doing. We got to love them to Christ. We got to show them love. I'm sure if Rogers was here today, and he probably did, I think he did do something on 9/11. I know when race was a big thing, he brought a African-American on there and was dressed in a police uniform. Think about that, dressed in a police uniform. And they washed their feet together in the same bucket. You know why he addressed that? Because he didn't like what they were saying about different colored people, different colors. He didn't like it. So you know what he did? He went to the Word and said, Lord, how can I demonstrate love? Bring it right on the TV set and show the whole world this is what you do. Amen. You love your neighbor. Don't matter the color. That's Mr. Rogers. That's Fred Rogers. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't have to worry about CNN. He was his own producer. He didn't have to go to worry about what the TV world was saying. He was the TV world. And his show didn't get canceled. And funding, he actually sat at that Senate and received, ministered life, ministered his purpose, what God had called him to do to that senator that was going to give him the gavel on whether they were going to approve a $10 million budget or a $20 million. They got knocked down. They was trying to knock it down from $20 million to $10. And when Rogers got done, didn't take him about 2 minutes, the glory of God. That guy said, I'd like to have a video of his show, and clunk, you got the 20 million. I don't see no reason why you can't have the 20 million. And Rogers, he didn't jump up and do a car wheel, but I know on the inside he was like, thank God, Jesus. See, religion don't have to promote itself. Just love people. And Jesus will promote you. See, don't you try to promote yourself. Let God. The Bible says, hey, can we just stick on what the Bible says? The Bible says when you come in, don't sit at the front, try to get accolades. Go sit at the back. And then when Jesus sees you back there, he'll call you to the front. Now, when I go to a church service, if I'm going to listen to somebody, I come to the front because I want to be right there at the word. But you know what I'm saying? He's talking about being humble. Don't put yourself up here to where you want people to see you and notice you. Put it back here. God sees you back there, and he'll minister to that person to bring you up at your time, give you your platform, give you your pulpit. See, don't you choose your pulpit. You just serve God and let him bring you to that place. Amen? Now, when you say to choose your pulpit, that is your purpose. Whatever God's called you to do. Amen. What is your purpose? Love God. Love people. Everybody, we all have that same purpose. But in that purpose, there's something for you and me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's a team effort. You know, ask Tom Brady. People don't like to hear. I'm a Cowboys fan, but I just mentioned another team, Terry. Lord, I repent. What's happened to me? Mr. Rogers is ministering to me. I got to love the Patriots just as much as I love the Cowboys. No, I just got to love the people as much as I got to love the people, not the teams, right? Yo, come on now. Y'all got to say amen, Pastor. Some of you guys like, I like that too, sauerkraut. I don't particularly like sauerkraut. I like pork chops with sawmill gravy, pinto beans with some cornbread. Crumble it up in there. Amen? Some of you guys might not like that. But that's my vision. And I'm telling it. Television. Painting you a picture. Might be determining where you're going to eat. Amen? I like to come and dine with the master's table. Come and dine anytime. I like to have what the Lord's having. He's having good stuff all the time. It ain't the same plate every day. It's different. Try it and see. Trust the Lord. Taste him. He is good. Yes, see, that's just... Taste and see that the Lord, he's good. Amen. Everything that he has is good. Praise him and worship him and thank him for his goodness in the land of the living while we got opportunity. Amen? Amen. Lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Follow his lead. Roger's lead here, knowing that our purpose is to love each other and put that love into action. Luke 6:34-35. And some of these scriptures I pulled right off of this devotion because that was a part of his life. But some of these are not. These are what the Lord led me to put in here. Talking about putting that love in action. Luke 6:34-35. If you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, what thank have you? In other words, if you give somebody something that you know they can repay you back, that ain't love. Loving somebody is giving them something you know they ain't no way they can pay you back. Because you're not expecting them to pay you back because God is your source. But you take what you have and you give knowing that God gave it to you. That's love. In its purest form is love your neighbor as yourself. I'd like to have something good and if somebody don't have it, let me give something. That was the whole church's, when they first came together, they brought everything as they had common, brought it, and then they made a distribution center. And that's what we do. We bring our tithes and offerings and we distribute it where the Lord says. And also those of the household of faith, first here, we have needs. There's needs in this congregation. We all have needs. We all raise a hand. We all have needs. God's met every one of our needs. Amen. We just got to love God, love people. The needs, but see, our needs are in people. Our needs met are in other people too. We just help one another. It might be somewhere we don't even know, all the way like Ames over here in Africa. The main thing is getting them hope, getting them Jesus Christ, because it don't matter how poor you are. If you don't have Jesus, you're going to stay poor. I mean, we can go feed these people over here in all these missions, but if we don't give them the word and get them out of that, get Jesus in them, the hope of glory, they're always going to be poor. It don't matter how much money we channel in there. Money's not going to change them. It's the love of God that's going to change people. And bring out that desire on the inside of them. And those creative ideas come out. And next thing you know, they can raise their own crops. And be like, who was it? Jacob. He sowed in the year of famine and reaped a hundredfold. Was it Jacob? Isaac sowed in the year of famine and reaped 100-fold. The ground wasn't supposed to produce in a famine. No rain, Terry. Don't matter. God created it. I'll make it grow. God said, I'll make it grow. Trust me. You need to believe God in your finances right there. Things don't seem like they're growing, coming up out of the ground. God says, trust me. Trust me. Trust God. Amen? Amen. And that's the same thing as have faith. Mark 11, 23. Have faith in God. And that means you got to say, I have faith in God. I believe when I sowed this morning, God has already met my need according to his riches, not my riches. And God's going to meet that need somehow in my life. And just thank him for it. That's faith. You're believing something you haven't seen yet. That's faith. And then God, when it comes, don't you say, yeah, I guess I'm lucky today. No, you say, God, let me give you some glory. I seen Daniel this morning. I hadn't seen him in a while. He had on a red sweater, Terry. I said, if you'd been here last Sunday, you'd got to preach that sermon, Daniel, because he had Mr. Rogers' red sweater on. But see, if you come next Sunday, don't be thinking it's going to be red or gray, so you don't know. But I know. I see. But he, I said, Daniel, you've been working so hard. I said, you're working on your pastor's retirement fund, ain't you? And then he pulled up his app, and he showed me how much he's putting in his, I guess that's your 401k. That boy knows how much, he's looking at what's going to his future. What are you doing? Amen. Are you expecting something great from God? He's expecting, his hands are blessed. The work of his hands, God blesses. Amen. He's already looking to his future. Amen. Amen. That just stirred me up. I'm like, praise God. I wasn't doing that at his age. I didn't even think. I was just living for the moment. Spending all I had on bit of honey, candy, going to the candy store. I find me some pennies that mama lay around. I'm going to the candy store. You know, I'm missing a few teeth up here. You know why? Because I had a love of candy more than I had a love of God. That dentist loved me, though. He loved that money. He loved working on my mouth. You know, I still love candy. I just brush my teeth, guys. Come on, you got to brush, brush, brush. Brush your teeth. Oh, how'd I get off on that? Thank you. This is my neighborhood today. I get to preach this message the way I want to, right? I don't know, Mr. Wright, I don't know if he taught about candy. He probably did. Because candy, as a kid, you got to know it's okay to have some candy, but you got to brush your teeth and make sure you go run around and get all those calories, get all that sugar out of your system. Listen to your mama. She says, lay down, shut up. You lay down, shut up. Sugar do some crazy things till you want to Allen. Sugar do some crazy things. Too much of it. And everything with moderation, right? See, man takes what God sugar put, he puts all this stuff in drink, all these things, and messes it up. Messes our bodies up. But God says, I can fix it. I can fix your body. Present it to me, a living sacrifice. Come on, holy, acceptable unto me. That's my reasonable service. Just give it to God. Lord, I messed it up. He'll burn it out. He'll burn it up. Burn those calories. You still got to walk, Terry. You can't go home and pray, Lord, burn these calories off me, and then lay down and just sleep. Well, you know, he can help you a little bit, but you're going to have to put your part, too. You're going to have to do some walking. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Walked with God. Fast-paced. Enoch walked with God. That boy was in shape. He was walking with God. I bet he could run a marathon, too. But he pleased God so much because he talked about his pawpaw. Pawpaw God. Like Adam. That's his seventh from Adam. We learned about that Wednesday night. It's already in the Bible. We just talked about it. Adam walked with God, and he was not because God took him. Why? He had this testimony. I please God. You heard Jesse DePlantis talk about his life. He pleases God, and when you know you please God, it builds confidence. It ain't your works that please God. It's your relationship. You are his child. There's nothing you got to do. My children, I love them. They're going to do some bad things, stupid things. Hope they learn and don't do them as stupid things I did. They're going to make mistakes. That's all a part of growing. Our parent is there to say, hey, that's a mistake. That's wrong. We tell them before. But they still make the choice. That's them, right? We don't want them to make the bad choice. But when they choose that bad choice, we still love them, don't we? We don't kick them out the house. Amen? Now, there's a time they leave the house. You leave and you cleave to your purpose and to your place. Nothing wrong with that. That's what we do, right? We grow them and we get married. We leave, we cleave. And if you're married, you're married, but if you're single, you still leave home and you cling to God and you find that purpose that God's called you to do, but you're still part of my family. Amen. Roman working, he got a job. He's working his way, working his way, working his way. Amen. There's a woman out there for him. Just one. And she wants to know, are you working? And pretty things. She likes pretty things. Christmas time, they like those pretty things, don't they, Vivian? It's Christmas. They like those sparkly things. You better make sure, Lord, am I with the right woman? Am I? Because if I spend this money, I want to enjoy it. That means I want to see it, Lord. I want to see it on her. You know, because a lot of times there's ones that ain't real lovely. They after your stuff, and then they gone. Gone, buddy. You're like, man, Lord, I tried to tell you, Adam, don't eat of that tree. But, Lord, I love this woman. She's pretty. Amen. God knowed that. He knowed it. He knowed that before he gave him that woman. But he also said he gave him the tree first. He gave him the word first. Come on, word first. Do not eat of this tree. Something good's coming, Adam. Don't you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. What I'm giving you is good, Adam. What I'm giving you is good, Adam. Woman's good. It's good. When you find a wife, guys, you get a good thing. Women's supposed to say, amen. But you don't mess with other women, Adam. Now, there wasn't no other women there, but there was a deceiver. There was a snake. There was a devil that was after the blessing of God. He was after that throne. He was after that pulpit. And the only way he could get it, the only way he could even be close to the Creator was us. And this ain't a part of the message, but it's right in there. See, the devil wants you because God's in you. He wants your power. He wants your authority. He wants your stuff. It's not his. This world is ours. Amen. This earth is ours, not the devil's, not the angels. This God put us on this planet. And climate control is not going to destroy it. Don't listen to the politicians. If they're crooked, they're crooked. If they're saying a lie, they're lying. I don't care. You don't listen to it. God says it's good. This place is good. Now, it's cursed because of us. But because of Jesus, we live above the curse. Jesus redeemed us from this cursed earth. I don't care what they say about climate change. My sphere is blessed because I serve God Almighty. That's the gospel. That's good news. That's good news to climate change. That's wisdom. All they're after is your money. They kept saying, 10 years, everything's going to be gone. 10 years. They said this 50, 60 years ago. 10 more years is all you got, Tammy. You better spend everything you can get now. Why? You want to make somebody else rich? When God says it'll be over, it'll be over. And I ain't listening to their plans. I'm listening to God's plan. And he says, why I'm living, give. Don't be a taker, be a giver. Give people love. Amen? Show them love. Show them Jesus. That's our call. That's our purpose. That's following Mr. Rogers. Luke 6:34 says, if you love them who you give and you know they're able to return, that ain't love. For sinners also lend to sinners and receive again the same. But you love your enemies. This is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. From that person. Give to that person. You know they can't meet your need, but you give to them knowing God is your source. He's your provider. But if he says give, you don't give to every work. You give to every good work God tells you to. Because there's people out there that will use religion to take from you. In the name of God. In the name of God. Well, which God are they serving? Because if he's the God of love, he don't ask. He gives. He don't ask nothing from you. He gives. Amen. Love your enemies. Be good to those. Lend, hoping nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. Acting like daddy. They got to be a disciple of Jesus. There's some Jesus people. Loving everybody. People going to talk to you like that. You just say you love everybody. Yeah, I love them. But I don't accept everybody. I'm not going to tolerate their sin. There's a difference between loving and tolerating it. In other words, they throw it in your face because you're a Christian. You still love them, but I don't tolerate that sin. Amen? Morality's got to speak. In other words, what you're doing is wrong. Two wrongs don't make it right. Two sins don't make it right. But the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. And then, say, I'm going to love you even while you're sinning, but I'm going to let you know that's sin. That's love. That's what Jesus didn't hide the truth. Jesus let people know they were in sin, but he loved them, got them out of sin. He said, don't go there no more. Don't go down that path no more. Wisdom, man, we're in a world we need so much, we need the wisdom of God. For God is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind. His love. He's merciful. He's merciful. We're going to end right here. Remember, it's not about you. Think about Mr. Rogers and all that he did. When those two choices came, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the good of the children. That's how he determined what he was going to do. I could pastor a church, maybe 100, 300, 500. But he saw TV worldwide. It's not in a building. It's in the airwaves. Whoever's got a TV. I think the Lord showed him that TV is going to be. Look at our. And guys, look at what we got now in front of us. Little TVs. iPhones, iPads. And I just had a great meeting with the Grays, and we're talking about structure and the future of our generation. Guys, we can't be against all these gadgets and gimmicks, these things, but what we gotta do, we gotta be creative on how we can reach that generation. You know, just like Rowan, you know, he has his phone here, but we don't want you using the phone just to chat. We want you serving God here. But also, guys, this generation is, when they see something that's spectacular, they want to take a little clip and they want to share it. So we got to be careful to where if we see somebody doing something on that phone, what are they doing? You know, don't be judgmental. They might be sharing the gospel. But you still got to be respectful in God's house. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Somebody could text them and they're getting ready to commit suicide on that phone. That's a friend of mine. You want to answer that text. Amen? Because what did he talk about, Mr. Rogers? He talked about that guided drift, that change. The word never changes, but our cultures are changing constantly. Man, the universe is changing constantly. And God never changes. He still loves. However he can use. Man, TV was a tool that he could reach the world with the good news. Kids, my generation. So remember, it's not about you. The greatest story ever told in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, his only son, he sent his only son. Jesus was mocked, he was hated, he was despised, he was rejected. This could have been Mr. Rogers. There's a lot of people didn't like him, hated what he believed in. However, this was God, this was the Lord's purpose. This is why Jesus came. This was his purpose, to demonstrate his great love for his creation. He became sin so that I could be free from sin. That's the great exchange. His purpose, the Lord's purpose, is everlasting life. Now we've got to change our mindset. When we think about everlasting life, we think about living in heaven forever. And that's good. That's a part. But everlasting life, says John 17:3, and this is life eternal. If you want to know what the Bible says, ask a question. It's in the Word. They'll tell you. What is life eternal? John said, and this is life eternal, that you might know, say no, the only true God, there's only one God, and his son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God sent him for us. That's everlasting life. That don't have, you don't start when you get to heaven. That starts when you receive Jesus. That's everlasting. Life eternal starts then. So we need to get happy now. Amen. Everlasting life is now. Is now. Everlasting life doesn't start when we go to heaven. It starts when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior down here in this dark and cursed earth. But we have comfort in the Scriptures that soon and very soon, Tammy, he's coming back. That old song, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, Pastor, you've been singing that song since you was sitting in church about 10 years old. Yeah, and I'm still singing it. Why? Because I still believe it. I didn't believe it to the full extent, but I believe those people that were singing it believed it. That was been my uncle and my aunt. My uncle's in heaven. One of his sons is in heaven, but my aunt's still here on the earth, and she still believes in the gospel. She believed when they were singing, they were called the Kennerly family, and they were singing gospel tracts. Why? That's the purpose God sent them to do at that point, was to sing about Jesus. Sing about, they were called the Kennerly family, and my uncle drove the truck. That was his whole life. He drove a truck over millions of miles, but he would come home and drive a bus, Terry. And the name of the bus, it had the Kennerly family. And you could probably relate. And they would go sing where people would invite them, and they go sing about Jesus. And one of the songs they would sing, "He's coming back. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me." What's your story? Is he coming for you? If you're not sure, make him your Lord and Savior today. Amen. Because he's looking. Jesus is coming back for those that believe and have received that everlasting gospel. Amen. And he put Mr. Rogers across my path. He put all kind of people across my path when I was out in the world. And I just walked on by and just kept walking on by. But Jesus kept coming by. Remember that ministry? Remember that sermon? Jesus is passing by. Many times I walked right past him. I don't want you, Jesus. But then one day I said, "Lord, I need you, Jesus." And he was right there. He was still walking with me, still talking with me, still sending me friends and family and strangers I didn't even know, speaking love to me and life to me, grace to me, healing to me. Angel, keep speaking healing to your dad. Keep speaking the word of God over Hank and Helen. You just release that. You're not the healer, but you love your daddy. God loves him more. When I say more, his desires are so much more than our desires, and all we got to do is just get people to that switch of faith that God does love me enough to heal my body. He has healed my body. He gave me Jesus. And whether it's healing, finances, whatever the problem, God loves you more than enough. His love is more than enough. His power is more than enough. His blood was shed, amen, for the sins of the entire world. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know how long Mr. Rogers' program lasts. How long do you think, Daniel? Did he have about an hour program? You think Mr. Rogers would give me about 10 more minutes to finish this neighborhood trip today? He was the producer. He could just make it as long as he wanted to, couldn't he? Now, he did have a slot. You had to be on TV. You slurred slot. But when the cameras were off, you know what he did? He would go to his piano, and he didn't care if the cast, the crew, everybody, he stayed in his piano, and he played until he knew there was a release. Now, you know, I'm not saying every production, but in that movie, after the lights went off, he goes to his piano, Reed, because that's a gift that God gave him. He created the music and everything on that script. It might have sounded like a little corny song, but to him, and that was the gospel. That was speaking to kids. Because kids, they don't know you know how to sing. It's only when you get old, somebody says, "You don't know how to sing." A kid don't know. They just looking. They don't know how you sing sounds like. They just saw Mr. Rogers loving them, being kind, playing his piano, doing his puppets. And he would just sit after that program. And you know what? He went over and he played his music. Why? Because he was loving Jesus. He was in the presence of God. What he was doing, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if he wasn't watching the ratings. He was watching the glory. He was watching Jesus. He was that vision he had. He didn't care if CBS, CNN, if they were here today, he wouldn't care. He said, if it's God's plan, it's going to work. And if it ain't, it ain't. But I'm still going to worship God. Amen. I'm still going to bless God. I'm going to play this piano. And whether the crowd comes or they don't, I'm going to play this piano. And he touched millions, Kathy. He touched millions because just one word from God, one little song from God. "I like you just the way you are." Amen. You might be, well, we ain't going to go down that road. Ain't got to be another neighborhood for another day. Amen. Everlasting life is what we're talking about. Jesus is coming back for his body of believers. He's coming back for the little kids, the little wee ones, and the big ones. I'm still just a big old kid. My body is just, it's just getting older. But my spirit is getting newer day by day. Yes. Amen. Thank you. I used to run from my mama when I was little. When I didn't want a whooping, I'd run. She was slow because she was older than I was. She was still in her 30s and 40s, but I was faster. But the one thing mama knew, I knew mama couldn't swim. And we were Lake View. I'm running to the lake. Old devil say, "Run to the water, run to the water." I didn't know the devil back then. I ran. I said, "Mama can't swim, mama can't swim." But guess what? Mama was taller than me. Jerked me up out of that water. See, I could go so far. I'm like, "Uh-oh, mama bigger than I am. She's still up here. I'm as far as I can go, Tammy." Whipped my butt all the way home. Say, wisdom. See, you might think you can run. Say, God, you can run, but you can't hide. God knew Adam was behind that tree naked. Mm-hmm. Naked. Who told you were naked? The devil. But God saw him. You know what his whole heart was? Adam, why didn't you run to me? Why did you run to that tree for? They took leaves, tried to cover their nakedness. God says, no, the blood's going to have to be shed for this. And God was the first one to offer the sacrifice. He slayed an animal. Blood had to be shed. Yes, yes. Blood was shed, and he covered them with that animal skin. Amen. That was, God says, he put the sweater on Adam. Come here. God always loved. He never quit loving us. Amen. He just had to separate us from sin. That sin could not come in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Adam's spirit died, but his flesh was still there. God still loves us. Yes. He loved us all through that mess. And Adam lived to be over 600-700 years old. Think about missing that blessing all those years that could have been for 700 years. But you know what? God's eternal. I'm sure Adam is in heaven now. Like, man, 700 years wasn't nothing to where life eternal. Thank you, Jesus. The purchase of our total salvation has been made with the blood of Jesus. But our bodies are not yet redeemed. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to redeem our old bodies, and our minds are going to be changed. That's to say, we have not yet received all the benefits of that transaction in our physical bodies yet. That will take place at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we will receive our new glorified bodies. So until that day, let us go out into our neighborhoods and be a neighbor. Take what you've heard today, how the Lord showed it to you today, and just love people the way God says, the way God shows you how to do it. Amen? However that may be. And watch this world. See, the first church, they turned the world upside down for Jesus. Jesus went among them, confirming the word preached. And you don't have to be a preacher. Just love people, because in that is the gospel. For God so loved the world. If you give something that's hard for you, that person can't pay you back. You just give in love and watch God work a miracle in their life. And give God all the glory. Say, thank you, Lord, for just letting me be a part to play in this person's life. Amen. And then God's got more for us to do. He got more neighborhoods out there. Amen. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message today. I thank you, Lord, for the life that Mr. Rogers displayed. Look, Lord, he was a masterpiece of your glory and your love and your kindness to the world. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that his life lives on through the church, through his TV, through the broadcast, Lord, but more through his life and through his love and compassion that came from you. It came from your spirit, the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you right now, Lord, for transforming our lives, conforming us into your image, transforming us into your image daily. As we leave this place, Lord, that you have given each one of us something, a creative way to minister to others. Not condemnation, not look at others the way they look, the way they smell, the way they act, but to look at the purpose that's on the inside of them and help them see that purpose. Because, Lord, they're so blinded by the world, they're so blinded by tradition and by religion, that, Lord, let us be the person that can help open their eyes to the truth, to be able to cast out a devil, cast out that attitude, speak to that attitude, and show them the power of the gospel, the power that's in Jesus. It's in his name. Father, we just thank you for making us disciples, that we became a little bit closer to our purpose and plan today because we are hearing from you. And Father, we pray, we give you all the honor and glory. We thank you, Lord, for making us, conforming us, translating us into your image, Lord, conforming us into your image, taking on your very character and going out here and help us, Lord, Holy Spirit, purge us where we need to be purged. Let our be a guard over our tongue, Lord, that will say what you want to be said. That will be minister. We will minister grace. Minister grace to all those that are around us and hear us, Lord. And we purpose to do that. And we thank you for your power to do it. And we thank you, Lord, for manifesting your power as we do it by signs and wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you need personal prayer this morning,